right into the most important topic for this particular segment, and we're going to be talking about the Constitutional Court judgment, which is deals with the fate of labour brokers. And on the line, we have Fiona Rappin, who's Director of Employment Practice at CDH. Fiona, welcome to Chai FM.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome to your listeners too.
Thank you very much. Sorry about that bumpy introduction. I was fighting with my microphone at the same time. Fiona, let's get straight into it. This has been a thorny issue, as I said earlier. It has been thrown around. Political parties play, you know, havoc with it. Let's maybe, if you don't mind, can we go back to the knuckle of the issue? What is a labour broker, and why are they less than loved in this country?
Right. So use made of labour brokers, as it was defined actually in the Labour Relations Act going back as far as 1956, is not a new concept in our law. Labour broking was understood to be a form of temporary service that employers could make use of where they have seasonal work and they need to fill in with a complement to their normal permanent staff. But over the years, and particularly after we saw some emphasis with first start of regulation back in 1995, when the temporary employment service term was used in the place of the term labour broker, there was an emphasis of putting the employment relationship squarely at the doors of the test. The test would be the employer, the test would have a relationship with the client, but the test employee close to that client would remain its employee. Now, this is interesting because what happened over the years is there was abuse that did occur. And you certainly had some labour brokers who were treating employees almost like a commodity, if you like, a tradable commodity, were not necessarily following the Basic Conditions of Employment Act and fair labour practices. And you found a situation where the employee, the placed worker, was finding himself out of work all too easily because the test, his employer, would say, well, I've lost the commercial relationship with the client's terminated my agreement, I don't need you anymore, and so that's the end of your limited duration contract with me.
Right.
And the courts got very unhappy with this because it was denying those employees the options and, more importantly, the rights that they have under the Constitution not to be unfairly treated and not to be unfairly dismissed. And what really aggravated the unions was they saw this as a scheme to try and get around the onerous obligation an employer faces under the Labour Relations Act and find a quick and easy way of circumventing that. Now, that's not the case with all labour brokers, or I'd rather call them TESs, temporary employment services.
Right.
Some of them are outstanding, some of them run as highly professional businesses, and I think offer tremendous flexibility in a market now for clients where job security is important, but having a job is equally important. But that caliber of TESs that operates on a professional level has unfortunately been tainted by some of those persons out there who ran TESs and did so in less than, shall we say, ethical way.
Fiona, so that unfortunately is just the way the cookie crumbles often, is that the majority are tainted by the minority who don't behave correctly. But let me understand a scenario. Let's take a farming scenario where you and I run a commercial farm and we need a substantial amount of labor, but only for a particular period, whether it's harvesting, whether it's whatever it is. And all we want to do is play by the book, look after people.
Right.
We would like the same people who came last time to come back. How do we then work?
So, labor broking or the temporary employment service, the TESS, has not been banned by our Labor Relations Act, and certainly not by the amendment of 2014. But the TESS now has certain limitation.
Okay.
Its placed workers, its employees, as they were earning under the ministerial threshold, which is approximately 205,000 rand per annum. There, the test, after a three-month period, loses that placed worker to the client. The client becomes the statutory employer from that point. So in that three-month period, that temporary period, the TEF can operate with those employees, okay, as its employees. But once you've crossed that three-month mark, then the dealing provision in the Labor Relations Act kicks in, and that person is now a statutory employee with the statutory employer, which is the client. So you've got 3 months to play with. If you have employees earning over that ministerial threshold, then none of these limitations on the operation of the test apply. That's quite an important point. But you said to me something very important. Farming sector, seasonal work,
yes,
need for temporary employees. What role can a test play in that situation? Because let's say they are definitely earning under that ministerial threshold.
Which I'm sure what would it would be, yes.
Yes, what role can the test play for the client? So the test loses the status of being an employer in its own right. But it's quite important that the Constitutional Court didn't say it's the death of a temporary employment service, that there's no role for them whatsoever in our economy. But they would basically be playing more of an administrative role. They could still have those employees on their books because, as the one amicus curiae said in that judgment, the advocate who was representing the Casual Workers Advice Centre said, just because you've got a person on the books doesn't make them an employee. So, TEFs, you can still have persons on the books, but you can't be the employer. But they could administer aspects of the employment relationship by agreement with the client, but the client will always have the responsibility to ensure fair labour practices and, importantly, to guard against unfair dismissal.
Fiona, I don't know if we've hit a nerve here, but the lines are going absolutely ballistic. So I'm going to quickly try and get through some of the SMSs. One of the SMSs that have just come through, the person really wants to know that the gist of the matter is, if an employer needs labor for 6 months at a time, but that's it, how would that relation work with the TES?
All right. So again, I mentioned you've got 3 months. And after that 3 months, the statutory dealing provision kicks in.
Correct.
So you haven't got any latitude to push the 3 months to 6 months.
Right.
So it's going to mean that the test needs to develop for itself a new role, a new importance, if you like, in the life of its client. And I see that happening by those tests playing a recruitment role in managing and obtaining and recruiting employees for that client. And the client, where it needs employees only for a limited period, would use the fixed-term contract mechanism to employ those persons.
Now, nothing changes. All that does happen is it's more regulated, and it's absolutely clear that the employee or the person working is no longer a commodity that is transferable, that is fireable at the whim. The person has security that, yes, I know I've only got an employment or a contract for 6 months, but, you know, at that time I'm deemed to be working for the employer, not just somebody who can be, you know, thrown out at a whim.
Yes. In other words, that placed employee who is on a fixed-term contract is no longer on a fixed-term contract with the TEF as the employer, but with the client as the statutory employer.
Before I let you go, Fiona, we can read through it. I've read through it. It's quite a lengthy and a technical document, but let's get to the nub of the issue.
Yes.
Is this a good decision from the employee's point of view? For those poor people who are desperate for work, will basically take anything, is it adding value to them?
I think that's a critical point, because you're right to say originally the whole emphasis was to drive atypical employment so that persons could get into the job market. But where the abuse occurred there was obviously the move towards decent work. And rightly so, unions were looking for that, of being of a permanent nature, because permanent employment drives a level of security of employment. Now, what this judgment is doing is trying to promote that decency, that decent work stratagem. Will it help employees? There's a question mark on that. A lot can be said for the dual employment model that was turned down by the court, because what happens to that temporary employee, that placed worker, who worked for 15 years ahead of this set of changes to the legislation and this constitutional court judgment, and now he's looking, he could face retrenchment down the line by the statutory employer as the client, and the employee says, but what about my past service? I'm only being considered as an employee of the client from the date the amendments to the Labour Relations Act came in.
Correct.
On the 1st of April 2015, but I had service ahead of that. Am I going to get severance pay based on that period? And the answer might be no, in which case that has actually impacted the employee negatively. So I do think there's some negative consequences, unintended consequences of the Labour Relations Act amendments, and of course the interpretation by our apex court.
But that's all got to do with the teething and the pains and the birthing pangs of this particular legislation coming in now. Once it's up and it's running, then we're dealing with a whole new set of laws that everybody's well aware of. So, yes, there might be collateral damage in this changing over this grey air zone. But once it's in, then it's clear to go.
Yes. I think that's a very valuable point.
Okay. Fiona, unfortunately, we're out of time. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. If people want to get hold of you, if there are people out there who need your advice, how do they get hold of you?
I'm a director with Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer.
Right.
And we do have a very active website where we have Q&A guidelines on topical issues such as this very important one. And there on the website, you're able to get hold of myself and also my colleagues.
Fantastic.
In my department. Yes,
great.
Thank you very much.
Fiona, thank you for your time. Great.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Be well. That was Fiona Lappin, who's director in the employment practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer.